In chapter 3 of the letter to the Hebrews, we saw a comparison of Christ and Moses. How the comparison led to a warning based on the example of Israel in the wilderness. Now, appealing to the example of Israel's fall in the wilderness is a natural one. Because despite Moses' leadership, most of the Israelites died in the wilderness and did not enter the promised land because of a lack of faith. Now, under Christ's leadership, we face a similar danger of falling short of our promise because of a lack of faith. Hebrews chapter 3, 14 through 15, and 9, chapter 4, and verse 1. You see, chapter 4 continues the warning with a focus on the promised rest that awaits the faithful Christian. This promised rest is actually one of several rests found throughout the scriptures. It is a rest that Moses and Joshua did not provide, which is just another reason why the Hebrew Christian should not forsake Jesus and return into Judaism. It is the rest that remains for the people of God today. So in this lesson, we're going to address two questions. What is the rest that remains, and what essential elements are necessary to enter the rest that remains? So let's begin with the first question. What is it? What is the rest that remains? It's not the rest that was in Canaan. This rest is alluded to in Deuteronomy 3 and Deuteronomy 12 and Joshua chapter 1. This rest was given as a promise from God, Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 through 45. But in chapter 4 of Hebrews, his rest, or my rest, or God's rest, is clearly explained here that it's different from that of Joshua, what Joshua provided in Hebrews 4 and verse 8. Now, long after Joshua died, the passage in Psalm 95 in verses 7 and 8 was written. The word today indicates that the Spirit was warning the Israelites who had lived long before received the Canaan rest. So Joshua provided the Canaan rest, but there is still a rest that remains. It's not the Sabbath rest. It is natural to think of the Sabbath day when one hears or reads the word rest. When we're first introduced to the nation of Israel, it was spoken of as a rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord, according to Exodus 16 and verse 23. This was the seventh day rest, patterned after God's own rest following creation in Genesis 2 and verse 2. It was encoded into the law given on tablets of stone, Exodus 20. But the Sabbath as a day of rest was given only to the nation of Israel. It was not given to the nation's fathers, in other words, the ancestors like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, according to Deuteronomy 5 and Nehemiah 9. It was given to Israel, only Israel as a nation, as a weekly remembrance of their deliverance from Egypt, Deuteronomy chapter 5. The only Gentiles ever commanded to keep the Sabbath were those living among the Israelites in Canaan. The text tells us that your strangers who is within your gates would also observe these laws. The Sabbath day, like the rest of the old law, has been done away with. It was nailed to the cross. In Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 2, Paul writes about this, as well as Colossians chapter 2. Now, those in Christ have died to the old law. Having been delivered from it, they may now serve Christ. Romans chapter 7, verses 4 and again verse 6. As part of the ministry of death, that is the Old Testament, it has been replaced by the ministry of the Spirit, the New Testament. That's how Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 11. Now it's a matter of indifference to God, left to one's individual conscience, and not to be bound on anyone, according to Romans 14, 4 through 6, and Colossians 2, 16 and 17. So finally, the argument regarding Joshua can also be made regarding Moses. Long after Moses provided the Sabbath rest, Psalm 95 was written. indicating that there still was yet another rest to come. While Moses provided the Sabbath rest, there is still the rest that remains, and it is God's rest. Through this section of Scripture, there are repeated references to my rest, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4, reflect back to Psalm 95. Also a reference there to his rest, Hebrews 3 and verse 18, Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Hebrews 3 and verse 18 talks about that those who fell in the wilderness did not enter. Hebrews 4 and verse 1 in our text today tells us that which Christians today have a promise of entering. It is a rest that God entered upon the completion of his creation, Hebrews 4. It is a rest that Joshua and Moses did not provide. God's rest is one in which you and I must be diligent not to come short of. Hebrews 4, our text, in verse 1 and verse 11. One who has entered his rest has ceased from his works, according to verse 10 of our text. So God's rest is the heavenly rest, of which we read about in the book of Revelation. For example, in Revelation 14, verse 13, we read, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them." You see, the rest that remains in this passage is therefore God's rest. And in particular, it is that heavenly rest that one enters into when they cease from their labors, when their body ceases on this earth. Now, if we wish to one day enter this rest, there are some things that are necessary for us to do. So what are the essential elements in order for us to enter God's rest? Well, the first is the Word of God. We note that both the Israelites and us today have had the gospel preached unto us, according to our text, Hebrews 4 and verse 2. The gospel, in other words, good news, proclaimed unto the Israelites pertained to the promises of Canaan. The gospel proclaimed unto us is to the blessings that we have in Christ. The word of Christ is essential for two reasons. One, without it, we would not even know about our promised rest. And two, without it, we wouldn't know how to receive our promised rest. So the word of God, or the gospel, is truly God's power to save. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul said there that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, it tells us about God's salvation in Christ and how we might receive that wonderful salvation. So, as we continue in this lesson, we learn that the Word of God alone is not sufficient. We have to mix it with faith. The word of God did not profit many in Israel because they didn't receive it with faith, according to Hebrews 4 and verse 2. As powerful as the word of God may be, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, its power in our lives is hindered unless we accept it with faith. Now, of course, the word is designed to create and nurture faith to a point, Romans 10 and verse 17, John 20 verses 30 and 31. But unless our heart is good and noble, the word will not find the proper soil needed to produce its intended fruit. Reflect back to Luke's account of the parable of the sower in chapter 8 and verse 15. You see, without faith, the promise of God's rest is not going to be experienced by us. Now, another thing that we have to have is fear mixed with diligence. And the Hebrew writer talks about this. He stressed that both of these elements are essential. Remember back to verse 1. He says in chapter 4 of Hebrews in verse 1, "Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short." And he says in verse 11 of our text, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall." Fear. An awesome reverence. has an important place in the life of the Christian. In Matthew 10 and verse 28, Jesus taught us who we are to fear. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, Paul writes that we are to, with fear and trembling, accompany our efforts to serve God. And Peter tells us that diligence, a strenuous effort, is also important in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and 10. He tells us we must be diligent to grow in a Christ-like character, and that we must be diligent to make our calling and election sure. The need for such fear and diligence is understandable only if the possibility of falling short can be very real. So what have we seen? The rest that remains truly is a wonderful blessing. It is God's rest, and therefore a heavenly rest. It is a rest in which one has ceased from his work as God did from his, Hebrews 4 and verse 10. It is the rest that John wrote about when he heard a voice speak from heaven, Revelation 14 and verse 13. But we have seen how disobedience led many of the Israelites to fall short of their Canaan rest. And though we collectively, as a nation of Israel, were God's elect, predestined to receive the promises made to Abraham in Genesis 12, but individually they failed to make their calling and election sure. They had the gospel of the Old Testament spoken to them, but they didn't receive it with faith, and so they didn't have the fear and diligence necessary to persevere. But what about us today? If we are in Christ, we are blessed to be God's elect in a collective sense as Christ's body, that is, the church. We are predestined as such to receive the wonderful blessings of salvation in Christ, including the heavenly rest that awaits us. And individually, we must still make our calling and election sure. Now, are we receiving the word mixed with faith? Do we have that proper sense of fear? And are we diligent in our efforts to remain faithful and steadfast? You see, only then can we have the assurance of entering into the rest that remains. I hope that we'll let the words of the Hebrew writer sink into our hearts, where he wrote in Hebrews 4 and verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience," referencing back to the children of Israel in the wilderness. I want to thank you for joining me this morning. If you have any questions or would like to discuss this lesson or any other lesson with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can listen to this lesson again by going to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. You can find it there on the right-hand side under sermons. It'll be posted there. It was posted there Friday evening or by the time the weekend rolled around. You can also join us this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, for worship at 10 a.m., and for another period of worship at 5 p.m. this evening. We also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Again, if you'd like to speak with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Again, thank you very much.